When I was a junior at the University of Washington, knee-deep in my electrical engineering curriculum, I had to take this class called Power Systems Analysis. It was a 400-level required course in an area so far out of my interests that it took every ounce of energy to get me up out of bed thrice weekly and into the classroom at its starting time of 8:30. So I was incredibly enthusiastic when, lo and behold, I discovered that this class was participating in a pilot program on cable access television. That's right, the classes were to be broadcast throughout the area on a special station called UWTV. I'm not certain how the powers that be chose this particular course. It's not like there's this pent-up demand for power systems. But I didn't care. I no longer had to get myself to class. I could just hop out of bed, flip on the television, and watch my class already in progress. Of course, it didn't take a rocket scientist to understand that anything on television could be recorded. And then, using the high tech of the day, a wonderful machine called a Betamax. They used videotapes. Okay, yeah, by today's standard, it's ancient history right up there with slide rules and compasses, but it didn't really matter. I no longer had to get up early in the morning. I could simply record my class and watch it later in the day. And like today's DVRs, I could watch my course whenever I wanted, even to the extent of viewing it over and over. Like that's going to happen. Anyway, remember, I was in my college years, which by most definitions means an impaired ability to make competent life decisions. And so with my friends, we would go out, stay up late, return sometime in the wee hours of the night or maybe even in the morning, more or less negligent of the fact that we were at a university to acquire a degree of some sort. And to support this, let me explain what happened next. For the most part, I was fairly responsible. I turned my assignments in on time, did well on exams, and received good grades. After all, I knew the consequences of returning home as a failure. Still, lessons are not always book learned. Some must be experienced. Because I could record all of my classes, I started to get a little bit distracted by other things. Oh, I never did anything really horrible, just the occasional poor judgment. My understanding of time management was still very much a work in progress. So instead of watching my tapes right away, I started to delay them a little and a little, watching them the next day, then in a couple of days, and then on the weekend. By the fifth week of class, to my horror, I discovered that I had a stack of tapes that had yet to be watched. And knowing that I had to rectify the situation, I started binge watching. Naturally, this is not like binging through a whole season of Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead. Not that I approve of those. Remember, this is a course on power systems. Yeah, it was torture trying to get them all in. And here's where my lesson really started. Somewhere in the middle of the fourth week of tapes, I think it was a Wednesday, I popped the tape into the VCR and pressed play. Instead of seeing my professor and the whiteboard behind him, up flashed a message so diligently recorded. No lecture today due to exam. That's right. I time shifted so many classes that I didn't even know that I had missed an exam that had occurred 1 week earlier. I blew it. I'm not entirely certain if this particular event put me on the path that I'm currently on, but rest assured, I have never, ever recorded any of my classes since then, for fear of getting behind. But let's put this in proper perspective. This example is a good one because most of us recognize the value of education and the opportunities that it can bring. One might say that in going to college, we learn much more than the degree offers, and that's true. After all, it's often the first time that we are away from our parents, that we make decisions without consultation or advice from our parents. And we can do things that even might contradict what our parents taught us. It's tricky, and some of us might not even finish our studies. Fortunately for me, the loss of one exam did not break me, and I was able to make it up. But it taught me a valuable lesson, one that St. Paul was trying to convey to the Corinthians of his time. You see, in the early days of the church, Paul went around Asia Minor, which is modern-day Greece and Turkey, bringing the truth of the gospel to anyone that wanted to hear the good news. Naturally, he founded many churches, most of which flourished and grew into astounding sizes. Corinth was unusual because it was a cosmopolitan city, and really at that time was five times larger than Athens. Located at the head of the Peloponnesian Peninsula, it controlled trade in that part of the Mediterranean, bringing with it people and wealth of all sorts from all over the empire. This flux of culture permeating the city constantly influenced everyone, even a fledgling sect of Christians. The trouble was, Paul could not be there all of the time. His was a missionary calling, one that required him to travel extensively. So while he was residing in the city of Ephesus, some 180 miles away across the water, he received disquieting news about the condition of the church in Corinth. The city, with all its peoples, the religions and cultures, constantly created a lure, a sort of siren's call, away from the morals and ethics that Jesus Christ taught. It's easy to see how this happened, for so many social practices were simply incompatible with Christianity. This isn't to say that everything outside of Christianity was bad, but rather there were lots of temptations and distractions. And let's be frank, from the very beginning, starting with Adam and Eve, people have fallen into temptation. As a result, the Christian community in Corinth fell prey to division and factions. People started aligning themselves with personalities and popular opinion, picking and choosing which teachings they liked and which ones they didn't, some trying to be incredibly orthodox, while others took a more progressive or lenient route. Others found themselves in legal trouble with secular authorities and found them in courts of law. Something had to be done. Otherwise, division would have destroyed the community. Thus, Paul had to write his letters, to the Corinthians. Today's reading only recounts the opening of that letter. But in today's gospel, the Israelites are given the reason to become followers of Christ. John the Baptist announces the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. Anyone, the Israelites, the Gentiles, even us, we can dial into that grace if we obey his commandments. For it was through his salvific action that gives us everlasting life. And who would not want that? But like many things, we don't always see or see clearly the gift that Jesus freely gives us. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the events of our day, in our own concerns. Certainly this was true of the Israelites during Jesus' time, but it was particularly true of Corinth. The pull of culture, especially combined with a sense of modernity and lost opportunities for pleasure and other distractions, blinded those people from recognizing the gift. Notice that I am talking about Corinth and the Christians there, but I could so easily be talking about us in our situation here in Benicia, in the Bay Area, in our country. We might think that we are better, more enlightened. We certainly have more technology. But in the end, we're still human beings with all the characteristics and attributes of being, well, human. There truly is nothing new under the sun. In Paul's day, he had to correct the people of the Church of Corinth. And if you think about it, Paul had to do it in a loving way, much like parents do when they discipline their children. As most of you know, it's never easy, and it runs the risk of alienating or at least pushing our kids away. Yet it is necessary, often requiring humility and some suffering on both parties. It is through these steps that we grow in spirituality. Spiritually. When we grow, many things happen to us. Our capacity for charity increases. Our compassion, the ability to be merciful, increases. And we see things more clearly through the light of Christ. Paul had to remind the Corinthians, and indirectly to us, that they were to live in the world, but not be of the world, and especially the temporary material culture from which salvation was needed in the first place. God's mercy and love is boundless and everlasting, but that does not absolve us of our responsibility to recognize the gift of salvation and our gifts within it. Paul and especially John the Baptist all recognize their gifts and their duty to bring salvation to the world. Have we recognized our own gifts and our own responsibilities to do so? Or are we constantly lured by the fruits of the world and the culture around us? Can we, for instance, ask ourselves if we are coming to Mass on a Sunday and working around our schedule, or are we doing exactly the opposite? Do we make time for practicing our faith, or does it just fall off our radar until something terrible happens to us or to someone that we love? The distinction is important because our world is indeed a wonderful place, and all things considered, we have very little time to enjoy what it offers. If we aren't careful, we'll get caught up, even to the point of destruction, doing just that. Look at what I was able to do with my primary goal of getting my degree. I so easily took advantage of technology at the time in order to do what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. That failure almost derailed me, and in a way, it did. Being Christian is not in any way, shape, or form an easy task. It requires work. Work that we do because we know it is the right thing to do, not because it's something that we have to do. It keeps us in constant check. One of the reasons we come to Mass and get involved in our parish community is to hear and reinforce God's message to us. Because if we come to the conclusion that we don't need this external presence to remind us how to obtain the good, or if somehow we become too enamored with the distractions of the world that we live in, then one day we'll press play and see the message, no lecture today, due to exam, and then it will be too late.